Hour 3 o'clock gym class getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. Michael Loss will join us, and we will look back at Iowa Michigan State. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, and we'll talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports, and a whole lot more obviously going on today around the country and around the world, and all that coming up from a local angle right here on KGYM. Four past three, Monday edition of the gym class. Welcome to the month of October, and I think I can pretty much put into perspective what everyone's thinking right now. So far, October is stunk with a capital S. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer here today, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. Going to talk with Mike Halas, look back on Iowa and Michigan State from East Lansing, look back on Iowa State and Texas as well, look ahead to homecoming for the Hawkeyes as they take on Illinois. That'll be coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And, of course, we start things off with our thoughts and prayers going out to everybody in Las Vegas. Associated with it, and it when it hits home a little bit, it makes it even tougher to deal with. And you know, the first thing I thought of when I got up today was, you just don't know in this day and age in 2017 exactly what is going to happen to you from day to day. So with mundane things happening out there, maybe it's just another good lesson to say, hey, kind of put it in the rearview mirror and concentrate on really what is important in life out there. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. And sometimes events in the world, you're at a loss for words. And I think this is one time that I am. You can use all the adjectives to describe it, and it doesn't do it justice. But it does hit home sometimes. Scott Kibbe, the principal at Liberty High School, brand new high school in North Liberty, he and his wife were celebrating an anniversary, I believe, and they were at that concert. And Scott has been interviewed. I know he'll be on the news tonight. And I just read a tweet from him an hour ago, and Scott said, "Hard not to be thankful for first responders. I'm running away from gunfire, and they run toward. Thank you all that serve."
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Scott and his wife were safe. They made it home. Today, and unfortunately others didn't.
No. I think 59, the last I had heard anyway. But, you know, I've known Scott professionally and personally for, going back to preschool. Our kids were his twins, and my oldest son were in preschool together. So I've known Scott and his wife, and just great people. And I'm very happy that they're okay, and very, very saddened the fact that others aren't okay in Las Vegas. And, man, just a bad, bad situation. And, again, there are stories like that everywhere, that people that you know were there, or people that you know knew somebody that was there. You know, even in the building here today, we had that happen. So it's tragic. It is tragic, and hopefully all this nonsense will come to an end, and don't know if it will, but you can just hope that it does. And then we hit the air, and man alive, punch number two to the gut, reported by, I think, TMZ first, and now it's been confirmed by many people, including CBS. One of the greatest of all time, Tom Petty, has passed away. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, of course, he was the front man for that group, solo career as well, and just one of the greatest guitarists, one of the greatest musicians, I think, in our age, and was unresponsive when they found him in his Malibu home, took him to the hospital, they took him off life support, and he passed away shortly thereafter. But man alive, you talk about a blow to the music world. Man, Tom Petty was one of the best.
66 years old, Tom Petty was.
Just got done with a tour on September the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen Tom out there in concert, you know exactly how good he was. Or just were a fan of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Just terrific.
Yeah, good music.
Very good music out there. If you would like to comment on sports or other things, love to hear from you. And we are debuting the brand new, I don't know if it's new and improved, but we'll go with that text line today. The Hurting at Stocker Jewelers text line, Mark. And thank you very much to everybody down there at Hurting at Stocker and really helping us out with the sponsorship of the text line from October on in.
Hurting and Stocker in downtown Iowa City, online or online at hurtingandstockerjewelers.com. And we thank the Jerry Ask Investment Services folks for their sponsorship the last year. And often these things roll over, and now we're proud to bring in Hurting and Stocker.
So if you'd like to if you would like to interact with us on the Hurting and Stocker text line, we'd love to hear from you out there. And there is sports to talk about. Obviously, the world keeps on churning, I guess, is the best way to put it. And you look back at Iowa, the loss to Michigan State. Iowa fell, of course, to Texas on Thursday night. Some very interesting NFL games. College football. I did not think Butch Jones would still have a job today in Knoxville, but he does. Ed Orgeron went from the flavor of the day to his seat is now hot after five games at LSU. Maybe Cajun Troy would like to let us know how she thinks of her beloved LSU Bayou Bengals down there right now, as they not only lost to Troy, but also presented a check of $956,000 on their way out after beating LSU and Ed Orgeron over the weekend. So, topsy-turvy world of college football. Clemson looked great again. Alabama looked terrific again. And those two teams right now are, I think, head and shoulders above everyone else. Although I think Georgia, in defense of Tennessee, I think Georgia's got a really, really good football team.
41-0 victory over Tennessee at Tennessee.
In Knoxville.
One of the surprising results of the weekend. Maybe not the winner and loser, but the margin of victory. And you mentioned Troy over LSU. I watched the end of that game. And shortly afterward, Troy University's Twitter feed put this out. Hey, LSU. Thanks for having us down for homecoming. We really enjoyed it.
That was just the cherry on top of the sundae, wasn't it, for LSU on Saturday night?
Watch Washington State beat Southern Cal. That was very, very entertaining. And Mike Leach.
The captain.
Yeah. That Apple Bowl is going to be very interesting.
Suddenly has gotten some national interest. And there wasn't a whole lot of interest in the old Apple Bowl.
No.
Going out there. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the phone line or on the Hurting and Stocker text line. Love to hear from you out there. And we'll talk with Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit.
4702. I just found Tom Petty's original album at a garage sale for $1. In good condition, that could be worth considerably more than $1, right?
$1.
67.
Garage sales are amazing because that happens every once in a while.
It does indeed. 67-39 in regards to Iowa football. I'm still hoping for Iowa to finish 7-5, but I'm worried about going 6-6. Offense sputters and defense giving up a lot of yards.
Yes.
It wasn't so bad on Saturday in terms of the defense. And the defense has been very good situationally, I would say, against Penn State. And quite a bit, aside from the first quarter, against Michigan State. The offense needs work. And I'll say after 48 hours being removed from this game is every year this team seems to get better in October and November. And if that happens, I was going to be much closer to 7-5 than it is 6-6 and maybe even better.
Still time to turn it around, I think, for the Hawkeyes. And but it's got to happen soon. It's got to happen this week. And it's interesting, the line came out for Iowa-Illinois, and Iowa was started as a 20-point favorite, and it is dropping. It has dropped 2 points today to Illinois, now an 18-point dog coming up in Iowa City on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
0-0-5-6. Illinois defense is pretty good. I would expect a low-scoring Saturday from both teams.
Almost a three-touchdown spread to start things off right there. Now, remember, Nebraska went over to Champaign. Illinois is not much on offense.
Mm-hmm.
This is an offensively challenged football team. But I would agree. I would agree. And if I was going to get the run game going, this is the weekend to do it because Illinois is absolutely putrid against the run as far as their defense is concerned. 319-366-1600. You want to comment on Iowa? You want to comment on Iowa State? You and I got a win, huh? Down at Carbondale. They beat the Salukis of Southern Illinois over the weekend. So that was good to see to get them back into the thick of things and back on the winning side of the ledger like there. Let's bring in Wally at 314 here on a Monday afternoon. Wally, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Mark?
Very good, Wally. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You know, we see that zone blocking scheme to the weak side of the field time and time again where the double tight ends, and then everybody slides to the weak side, usually to the left. And he never bootlegs out of it, you know, fakes the ball or, you know, tucks it into Wadley's belly or holds it in one arm and fakes it with the other hand and then can roll out to the right with the option to run or throw, hopefully throw. And it's just a little tweak that they got to make to, you know, to keep the defense a little off balance. And I still believe that Stanley is afraid to throw interceptions because how many times has he missed that long ball this year?
Yeah.
And I mean, he's had four games to dial it in and he's only done it a couple times out of maybe 10 or 12 passes. That's all I got, guys. I'll wait to hear what you say.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. Play calling, you know what? It was interesting because I had watching the New England Patriots a little bit yesterday. And guess what NFL team runs that same play that Wally was talking about a little bit? The zone blocking, going to the weak side, short side. The New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They do an awful lot of that. And I thought it was very interesting because Brian Ferentz, of course, not only with the Iowa background, but also with a lot of New England Patriot background right there. I would like to see a little bit of a variation of that. If you boot out of that, Iowa does boot out of certain situations a lot when they throw, but seemingly not so much as far as that is concerned. Stanley is still missing guys deep. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I don't know if it's because he's afraid to throw the pick or anything like that, but keep in mind, it's only been four or five starts for him still. I think he's going to get better.
I think it's been a mixed bag. I know fans are frustrated with those overthrows, but he's also had some exceptional touch passes that he's completed for touchdowns. And it is early in his career. You would hope that he's more advanced at this point, but you got to accept the fact he's a sophomore and dealing with some new wide receivers in Nick Easley and others.
Smith Marset, although he didn't play a lot this past Saturday. Was targeted once or caught one pass. Mm-hmm. Smith Marset did. I would like to see him in there more just so Iowa can have that deep threat. Nothing against Nick Easley, nothing against Matt Vandenberg or anything like that. And they had a couple of steps on their defenders. But it almost looked as though Stanley was expecting them to run under something. And quite frankly, those two guys aren't going to run under a pass
like
that.
It's easy for us to sit back and whether we're watching on TV or on the 50 rows up at Kinnick Stadium, and you see different things than the quarterback does. The quarterback has so many things going on in front of him, and the passing game isn't all about the quarterback. Now, the quarterback has a lot to do with it. Certainly the wide receivers and the route running and the ability to catch the football. And obviously the offensive line's ability to block and give Stanley not only time but lanes to throw the football. So sometimes it's not as easy as it looks.
319-366-1600. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. you'd like to get in touch with us via the phone or the Hurtin' at Stocker text line. Love to hear from you at 18 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Also today, and Mark was waiting, it's all I could talk about at golf yesterday, we are giving away tickets. All this week on the Gym Class. Free tickets to this show. It will be the Stage World Tour at the U.S. Cellular Center, Friday, February the 9th. As it is going to be Avenged Sevenfold with Breaking Benjamin. And they will be at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up on February the 9th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, October the 6th at 10 o'clock at the U.S. Cellular Center box office or Ticketmaster.com. Or you can win free tickets, like I said, all this week. If you're into heavy metal, this is your group, ladies and gentlemen. They're like 21st century heavy metal, Mark. You remember Metallica and all that good stuff?
Don't I know?
Yeah. Well, here you go. Here's your bag of... This is right up everyone's alley out there. We'll give those tickets away coming up here in just a little bit. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll bring in Eugene here on a Monday. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, fellas. How you doing?
Great. Very How good. Are you?
Hey, I'd like to see Brian Ferentz take a look at what Penn State did with Barkley and use Wadley that same way. That's my concern, is that, you know, we have this great running back and we're not getting him in positions where he can get the ball out in space, like split out as a receiver, or even if he just draws out a defense and splits things out a little bit wider, that's going to help the running game. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Eugene. Appreciate that. And I'll say this before you respond, Mark, as you and I and Todd talked after the final gun on Saturday, Iowa really misses James Butler. Because Iowa was pretty free to move people around. They could put Wadley in the slot. They could put Wadley at a tailback position and do other things with he and Butler. Now it's a one-pony show at this point. And defenses know that, too. It's a lot easier to scheme now against this Iowa football team down Butler and with a quarterback that's only played five games than it is with everybody healthy and available for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that Torrin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin haven't seen more action, thus allowing Wadley to get on that outside. We've occasionally seen Wadley in the backfield with another back, whether it be any of the three that we've mentioned. But I agree with Eugene, and most coaches will agree. How do you win football games? You get the ball in the hands of your playmaker. And I'm sure Iowa is devising various ways to do that. And, Wadley's very good, but he's no Saquon Barkley. And Barkley can do things that very few running backs in the country can do. But I get what Eugene's saying in terms of the schemes and getting Wadley out there because he is so shifty and has the ability to take it to the house.
Go ahead.
A lot of texts out there coming in.
The Hurtin' and Stocker text line?
Indeed. 4702, people are overreacting. Nebraska plays at Penn State and Ohio State. Wisconsin can lose to Michigan. I expect Iowa to be right there for the division championship. Cyclone Tim, after the Vegas shooting and Tom Petty's passing, what Iowa's record will end up being or whether Iowa State will go bowling seems secondary for now.
Yeah, I would agree.
87-21, it's hard not to up yards when the defense is on the field the whole game. How many times did Michigan State have it on the Iowa side of the field and not give up points? Very good point. The last two games have been a lot about field position, and while Michigan State didn't cash in all the time, it made it very difficult for Iowa to get out of its own shadow, I guess.
Iowa defense, I thought, really accounted for themselves very well on Saturday, giving up only 300 yards to Michigan State and only 17 points, because it could have been a whole lot worse. I mean, you didn't. Not even without a lot of imagination, it could have been 30, 31, 37 at least.
66-57, something to think about. Iowa is theoretically two possessions away from being undefeated at this point in time. How much would that change the perception of our fan base? And we talked about this on the postgame show. Yes, if Hooker had tipped that, was it Hooker? had tipped that pass away that McSorley threw in the Penn State game. Had Stanley not whiffed and fumbled on the 5-yard line, things certainly could be different. But we go back to various seasons, and I think 2009 is the most illustrative of that, when Iowa won 4 or 5 games that were
including
decided
at Michigan State
by a touchdown, and most of them by 3 points or fewer. You're going to win some of those, and you're going to lose some of them.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 324 here on the Monday edition of the program. We're going to talk to Mike Halas. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll have the tickets to give away as well to Avenged Sevenfold, as well as Breaking Benjamin. That'll be coming up at the U.S. Cellular Center. Tickets will go on sale this coming Friday. That'll be at 10 o'clock, October the 6th. We will take a break, come back. We'll talk with Mike Halas and get his views on all going on, and we'll do that when we come back.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
We welcome you back at 3:26 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll be looking ahead to Iowa, Illinois, and Iowa State, Oklahoma coming up in the next couple of days here. We're going to talk with the Oklahoma beat writer coming up tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Cal Eldred will also join us tomorrow as we get ready for the Major League Baseball playoffs. Yes, everyone, baseball is still here, and red letter night tomorrow night for you, Mr. Dukes.
It is indeed. Twins playing October baseball, and while the climb would seem to be quite formidable, anything can happen. One game series against the Yankees, and then your reward, if should you win tomorrow night, is a series against Cleveland. So it's going to be tough. I think it's, as a Twins fan, it's gravy for me from here on out.
Absolutely, absolutely, and of course we'll have most of the games in the Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll try to get in as many as we can. Again, we've got college football, we've got high school football, we've got pro football to kind of move all the puzzle pieces around. And we will have the wild card games tomorrow night and Wednesday night. Very unique situation tomorrow night. Here's what we're going to do. 107.5 FM, you will get the Twins feed with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden coming up tomorrow. 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, you will get the ESPN national feed of the Twins and the Yankees coming up tomorrow. Everybody gets Colorado and Arizona from ESPN on Wednesday night. Then we'll get back into it coming up as far as baseball is concerned on Saturday, when we'll have game 2 of the National League Division Series. And it's you got some really good baseball teams in there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't think the regular season was the greatest ever, but I think we're going to have a very good postseason. 328, Mike Halas. He joins us on Mondays. Of course, does a great job as of course, the columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S. Very good follow out there on Twitter. And, Mike, sports seems kind of secondary today, but good afternoon to you.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard your show today. I'm in the office, but your producer told me it's been a somber start to it, and you don't need to bum everybody out for a solid hour, but God, I just heard in the last half hour about Tom Petty on top of, you know, the absolute nightmare in Las Vegas, and so I don't know.
Yeah, now I know you're an aficionado of music, and if you are an aficionado of music, anyone out there, no matter what genre you listen to, I think you can understand the greatness of Tom Petty.
Yeah, I think he was underrated, if that's possible, for somebody who sold as many records as he did. I got to see him 3 times and enjoyed it every time, and it's weird when it's somebody when it's an artist that you liked, how it seems to impact people. But I mean, it's one person in one life. It's just, you know, nothing compared to what happened in Las Vegas. But it just adds to a pretty god awful day.
I would agree, but the thing is, games went on, Mike, and Saturday you saw Michigan State and Iowa, and you know, our text line today is very active, our Hertie and Stocker text line, and it's everything from the offensive line needs to improve to we should go to a spread offense, we meaning Iowa, quarterback change, punter's inadequacies, and I don't know. God, this team has lost 2 games by 9 points, but we talk about the eye test, and I guess it didn't meet it Saturday, did it?
No, no. I mean, this didn't have the feel that the Penn State game had. That one obviously was, you know, no, I don't think anybody walked away from that complaining about Iowa's effort or even performance, despite the yardage discrepancy. But this one, they never quite got it going. You know, the defense got picked apart very early, and then from then on, the defense was fine, but the offense was anything but. And 10 points isn't going to win you very many games anywhere, even, you know, against the worst team. So, unsatisfying, that's for sure. And, yeah, you can pick apart a lot of places, but it's pretty much all on the offense.
Mm. And I think it's safe to assume that this team really hasn't put together 60 solid minutes yet of good offense, good defense, good special teams play. So I guess if there is a silver lining, it hasn't happened yet, and usually that happens at least once or twice during the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really ready to cash this season in. Look, you play for championships, and Iowa's road to the Big Ten championship game it has no margin for error now. Iowa's going to have to win its last 6 games. Well, you know, how likely is that when you have to play Ohio State at home and Wisconsin on the road, for starters? But if you want it to be a season that was better than forecast in the summer, I think that's still out there. What they get a break in the schedule in that they've got Illinois this week, and then a bye week, and then at Northwestern. And so I think it's a 3-week segment in which, if they do, you know, make some improvement and attain some growth, that by the time they get out of that 3 weeks, maybe they'll start to look like a better football team. But that's going to require some significant improvement on the offensive side.
What's your assessment of the leader of that offense, Nate Stanley, at this point, Mike?
Well, he's been a good fourth quarter quarterback by and large. And for a first year starter, I think he's been good. But, you know, if he had completed half of the overthrows that he's had the long throws. And those aren't high percentage throws, but if he would have just hit on half of those, his numbers would be eye-popping, and I think that the team would be in a much happier place right now. So he's got to get that reined in, but, you know, maybe his passing would be better if, you know, receivers X, Y, and Z were doing a better job. And then it all comes back to Iowa's bread and butter, and that's the offensive line and playing physical dominant football. And for two straight weeks, the opposing defense has taken it to Iowa's defense. Is that all on the linemen? I don't think so, because I don't think the opposing defenses respect Iowa's passing game, be it Stanley's accuracy or the talents of the receivers. But still, that offensive line just has not looked yet like an Iowa offensive line, at least not in the two Big Ten games.
See if you agree with this, Mike. We talked about it on Saturday, and I'm a big believer in the fact that without James Butler, this offense is really stunted a little bit. You take away a weapon like that from anyone on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to make a significant impact. And I think his absence is really made an impact on this Iowa team.
I think so too. I think that's a really valid point, and I think the injury to, like, I can never pronounce his last name,
Butker.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everybody. I should know that by now, but it always stops me for some reason. That hasn't helped, but everybody's got a key injury 4 or 5 games into a season. Everybody does, and Iowa hasn't been hit by injuries very hard, except for the two guys we just mentioned, really. And it didn't help that Manny Rigombo was out at corner Saturday, but I'm sorry, we're talking about the offense. Oh, Butler. Yeah, that hasn't helped, you know? That hasn't helped at all. A powerful back. Wadley just hasn't seemed like the right kind of back for the package they're running on first down, which was time after time after time, they just devoured the line and Wadley had nowhere to go.
Wonder what your thoughts are on Josie Jewell, Mike. He's put together a great first half here. The body of work is not yet complete, but does he really rank in the, you know, you got guys in the NFL right now, and Hitchens and Kirksey and Greenway just retired. Where do you put Jewell?
He's right up there. I think he's in Greenway territory. I really do. Greenway and Abdul Hodge. He's third in the nation in tackles. That can be a deceiving statistic sometimes, but I don't think it is in this case. He's averaging about one pass breakup a game, and if you are really a statistics nerd and take a look, you see that linebackers just don't do that. And, when you watch replays, it's like, I forgot he made that play. I forgot he made that play. Well, that's because he's making play after play after play.
Mm-hmm.
He was preseason all-everything linebacker, and I don't see any reason for that to change at the end of the season.
If there's, a light in the end of the tunnel, it's the fact that Iowa gets to go home and they get to take on Illinois now. And if the Iowa running game is going to get well in a hurry, it's going to be Saturday with a team that's 99th in Division One in total defense and 92nd against the run right now. So if I was going to run the football, boy, they better start this Saturday.
Yeah, and there's certainly no reason that they shouldn't succeed. I mean, Illinois has played, I believe, 19 true freshmen this season. Yeah, and they started 8 against Nebraska last Friday night, and they're not as physically developed, they're not as technically developed, they're just not a good team. And there's really no reason for Iowa to not push them around.
And by the way, Lovie Smith has just announced within the last hour, this according to Illini Inquirer, Hey, I wanted it. I got it, Mark. New quarterback, Jeff George Jr. is going to be starting for the Illini coming up, and could also see freshman Cameron Thomas for the Illini.
God, I remember when Jeff George Sr. was carving up Iowa at Kinnick Stadium.
I also remember when Jeff George was a quarterback, and the Illini fans came over on Friday night before and went up and down the Ped Mall yelling I-L-L-I-N-I, and Iowa scored, I think, 35 in the first 7 minutes. That's been a while, though.
Yeah, it is. And Jeff George Jr. isn't Jeff George just yet. He played quite a bit against Iowa last year, and they didn't score. And, I mean, he isn't the starting quarterback until now, and Lovie Smith says we're a running team. So what, are they going to junk what they've been doing entirely and become a passing team? I don't know. Not much is working. We listened to that Nebraska-Illinois game on the radio going up to Lansing Friday night and changing the channel in the second half. It was no contest.
Well, look who's 2-0 in the Big Ten West, Mike. Are you buying Nebraska?
No.
Okay.
They played the two worst teams in the conference. They get Wisconsin at home Saturday. And if they beat Wisconsin, you can ask me the same question next week, and I'll give you a different answer.
Okay.
How about the boat took on water up north over the weekend, too?
Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad loss.
Yes, it was.
I mean, Maryland gets curb stomped at home by Central Florida, and then with their number three quarterback goes to Minnesota, hangs 31 points on them, and runs the ball all day long. I think they had like 260-some rushing yards. Minnesota is now getting criticized for having a highly predictable offense, a mid-American conference offense, I believe that somebody wrote. So one game can alter perspectives pretty quickly in football, and that one certainly has. I thought Minnesota had a chance to be 7-0 when it came to Kinnick, and now I wonder if it'll be better than 4-3.
If you covered Maryland football, Mike, could you regularly spell Max Bortenschlager's name correctly? What a great name, huh?
I can't pronounce Ike.
Botker.
Botker.
Michael Osborne.
The guy was good. Bortenschlager was.
Absolutely.
For a third stringer.
For a third string guy.
He had great high school credentials out of Indianapolis, so they've done a good job of stocking that position out there.
And no better name to play in Minnesota, like a combination of Schweigert and some sort of lunch meat up there. So
sounds very, I don't know, sausagey.
I used to eat Bortenschlager and cheese sandwiches all the time.
Yeah, and you liked it.
I loved it.
Loved it. Michael Oss joining us at 3:41 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Prior to going to East Lansing, you were in Ames for Iowa State and Texas. And I was really looking forward to that to see if this would be the signature win that Matt Campbell would get early in his career anyway. Iowa State's defense, I thought, played pretty well, but that high-powered offense for Iowa State, they got grounded by a Texas team. We were wondering what Texas defense would show up, and the good one showed up.
Yes. I drove 1,100 miles in 3 days to see Iowa and Iowa State play, and they had a combined 17 points. I figured that was 1 point for every 65 miles. Not good. Too bad offensive showings. Iowa State's offense was not good that night. Really disappointing, considering what we've seen from them the last several times they've played. I mean, they averaged over 500 yards their previous six games. And they got half of that against Texas. It would have taken just an okay offensive performance to win that game, and they were a long ways from okay.
What do you think of Joel Lanning as a linebacker?
Well, for somebody who'd never played it before this year, he's been fantastic. You know, if he had a couple more years there, you'd think that he could be Josie Jewell, you know, in 2019. It's kind of too bad.
Do you really want to be a college football coach, Mike? Tennessee, LSU. I mean, come on.
Poor Ed. You think Iowa's got it bad? Let's move down to Baton Rouge for a while.
Oh, God.
Because he's five games, and they want him out.
Well, the trouble with, you know, with football is that 50% of the teams that play lose.
That's brilliant.
And that doesn't sit real well with half of the population. But that thing with LSU losing at home to Troy, and what I get a big kick out of is, I, you know, Troy doesn't just go home with the greatest win in the history of its program. Oh, here's $800,000 or $900,000.
They could, yeah, stopping somewhere nice on your way home.
They probably said it just like that too.
No, but that, you know what? I guess that's the beauty, and that's the. You know, the other side of college football, all rolled into one.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we know how most of those games go, but some of those mid-majors are pretty good, and Troy's been a pretty solid program for a number of years now, but who would have seen him going into Death Valley and winning? That was cray-cray.
Mike, I don't remember when you started covering Iowa and the Big Ten, but I wanted to ask you about Joe Tiller and what experiences you might have had with him and what your impressions were of him as a coach.
Well, I thought he was a fine guy, and I think that's the consensus opinion of fans, of media, of fellow coaches. I mean, one coach after another lauded him this weekend, and you could tell that it wasn't just lip service, that they truly meant it. Ferentz made a point of mentioning him after a tough loss Saturday in East Lansing, and, you know, he said he had just spoken with Tiller a few weeks ago on the phone and that Tiller had been sick, but he really did the Big Ten a service with his personality, but secondly, the style of football that he brought to Purdue. Purdue was a graveyard in football when he got that job, and they didn't waste any time. He had them winning almost immediately. I think they won 9 games his first year, and it wasn't a fluke. I mean, they won more than they lost in the Big Ten. They went to a Rose Bowl. He had a quarterback named Drew Brees who just torched everybody. And it was fun football to watch. They called it basketball on grass. And I think that he really gave the Big Ten an element that was a positive. And it was, you know, things kind of came undone in his last year at Purdue. But, you know, those were the best days that program has had in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many schools would like to have a do-over as far as coaching decisions are concerned? I think Purdue would be toward the top with Joe Tiller because they unceremoniously shown him the door. You think LSU might not might want to reconsider that Les Miles situation at about this point?
Yes. I mean, how about Nebraska? I mean, you look at Frank Solich way back. It's been 12 or 13 years now. The guy was winning 9 games every year, maybe 10 sometimes. I'd have to look it up. Maybe even 11 once or twice. I really don't remember, but he won consistently. Well, he didn't win national championships. They were a lot closer then than they have been since.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, you know, but that's life. I mean, people's sense that you've reached a zenith with somebody and it's time to move on, and when there's consensus and momentum, it happens, and then you find out, well, maybe the situation was a little harder than we realized or something like that.
Well, it's like you said earlier, you know, half the teams win and half the teams lose. You know, not everyone's going to go 10-2 and 11-1 every year, and I think people have to realize that.
Yeah, but the thing is, our team ought to be able to.
True. Why not?
I mean, you're talking about the baseball, and people are seeing the Twins in the playoffs, and they're saying, bucks. If they can do it, why aren't we there? You know?
I promised myself I wouldn't ask you about O.J. Simpson's release from prison, Mike. It's one of your... You interviewed him. It's one of your four pictures on your Twitter panel. So I promised I wouldn't ask you about it.
I wasn't looking at him with admiration.
That is the most scornful look on a person's face. Go check it out. Mike Colossi, the look on Mike Colossi's face as he's sitting in on an O.J. Simpson interview on his Twitter feed. You see it, Scott?
I see it. Looking right at it. I see it every time.
You can't make that up.
Nope. You know what? I was ahead of my time. I thought he was a bad guy before most of the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly not as good as the picture, your face when you're holding the baby alligator or a crocodile. I don't.
Iguana. I don't know.
Or whatever that thing is.
You think sports writers are.
I'll tell you this, though, that day in South Florida when O.J. came to the USC practice during the week of the Orange Bowl prep for Iowa, there was somebody from the Iowa media who found everything O.J. said to be hilarious and seemed pretty delighted to meet him, and that put me off.
Mm.
Very much, very much. No 1,100 miles this week, though, so that's the best part of your week, right?
Yeah. You'll never hear me complain about my job. I'd be an idiot if I did, or more of an idiot. But there's something about rolling into a gas station in Pawpaw, Michigan at 1 in the morning, and you've still got a long way to go that... You got to question where things got away from.
Where the hell is Pawpaw?
It's somewhere off I-94.
Is it an animal shop or something, Pawpaw?
I'm not making this up. We pulled off to get gas, and the gas station was called Nibbles.
In Pawpaw. I got it.
You can Google that. It's true.
Oh, man. All right. Well, from Pawpaw to the gym class, he is Mike Colossi. Mike, always appreciate it. And we'll check in at thegazette.com and at Colossi. And have a very good week. It's got to get better than this, man.
Sure.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
3:51. We will take a break. As we head to break, we are going to give you an opportunity to pick up those tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin. And they are going to be at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up on February the 9th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, October the 6th. Some terrific heavy metal music out there for you aficionados. And we're going to take caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is when we come back.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries.
I'm on your website, and it says I can buy online and then pick up in store?
Yes.
And how long does that usually take?
30 minutes or less.
I need a battery for my 2013 Ford Escape.
Our Autocraft Gold, it's got a 3-year warranty.
Man, you really know your stuff. I'm 33. Am I too young for a cardigan?
Too young for a cardigan.
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Order online at advanceautoparts.com and pick up your order in store in just 30 minutes. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Back with you on the gym class, Jeremy at Cedar Rapids. He's got tickets to go see Avenged Sevenfold and Breaking Benjamin at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up in February. Those tickets go on sale this Friday morning at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, and that will be at 10 o'clock. We're eating high in the hog this week, Mr. Dukes, and courtesy of yonder rookie on the other side of the glass.
Well, whether that's this week, it'll be down the road at some point.
Sometime.
Kyle Mann, headline, perhaps the worst week in pick six history for a team.
I was right behind you, buddy. Woo!
The gym class went 3-15.
3-15.
0-6 for Kyle Mann, and we know what that means, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Kyle knew ahead of time.
Kyle, did
but
you?
He certainly knows now.
Did you know the consequences for an 0-6 weekend?
I was fully aware.
Okay.
And I took that into consideration when I made my picks. I was trying to win at least one, believe it or not.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, it didn't work out. We're going to bury the tape. We're just going to move on.
I like
move
that.
On to Cincinnati.
Are you flushing it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's flushing it, Mark. Go ahead.
Scott Unas is very thankful Northwestern covered, or he'd be buying lunch instead of Kyle Mann.
What do you guys like to eat?
Oh, we can eat anything. I know they got La Cantina $30 gift certificates to give away on the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn.
We do. Mark, I haven't seen you today. I haven't meaning to talk to you about this. We play each other in the League Fantasy League next week.
Yes.
Are you aware that you don't have an eligible running back playing next week?
I'll be on the waiver wire.
Yeah, not a single one
on
the roster.
I'll be on the waiver wire.
Not a one.
Well, Dalvin Cook got hurt.
That's tough. You got an injury and a lot of buys.
Ah, man.
Obviously, I didn't look at the bye weeks when I drafted.
Yep. Obviously, you did. Obviously.
I'll come up with something.
I know you will.
But at any rate, the what seemed like a pretty comfortable lead for the gym class has turned down to a one-game lead as Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn went 9-9, picking up six games. So we have a paper-thin one-game lead over that crew. Sean Krantz is the weekly winner at 4-2. Todd went 3-3, and Alex 2-4. So game's on.
It is. The lead is gone. We got to get it back and assembled and ready to go. And hopefully that starts off this weekend. Tonight, we've got Cyclone Collins show for you, and that begins at 7, just past 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. Tonight, Monday Night Football from Arrowhead in Kansas City. It'll be the Chiefs and the Washington Redskins going at it. 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up tonight.
Poll question today, Emo's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. What worries you the most about the Hawkeyes at this point? Would it be quarterback play? The running game needs to get going, the offensive line, play calling, or ball security. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Know all of the above, so go ahead and try to ascertain that and figure it out. All right, Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn is coming up next. Cal Elder to join us tomorrow. We'll talk Oklahoma, Iowa State as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3, everybody.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays,